Toby Mack on WWIB this morning and taking us right toward quarter to six. It's 40 degrees. And we call it the best 5 minutes of the day. Jason Kanz, Dr. Jason Kanz from Marshfield Clinic, where he serves as a neuropsychologist. And he gets up early in the morning, and so he joins us, and he has since the start of 2020. So even pre-pandemic, right? Hold it. What are we not doing here? All right. Yes, even pre-pandemic. Yes.
Yes. I was able to hear that in the background. Yes. Since pre-pandemic, we started this in January 2020, so it's been going a long time.
I know. Yeah. We're almost to May, so anyhow.
It's fun to watch the world wake up. You know, I planted some flower bulbs in my backyard last year, and they've been slowly working their way up. I'm not seeing any flowers yet, but they're there, so it's okay. Good to see that the world coming alive. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, well, let's see. John 13 through 17 is what you wrote notes from the upper room on, lessons in loving like Jesus. And before this year is out, what would it be like if we actually went through all of the devotions? You wrote, I thought it was 129 devotions, right?
Yeah, somewhere like that. I can't remember the exact number, but it was quite a few.
Uh-huh.
We'll see if we actually make it through the year. We're in John 15 right now, John 15, 22.
All right.
And the verse says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been found guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. And so what I wrote is, all of us have made honest mistakes. We have done things that seemed right at the time, believing we were doing the best we could. Only later did we learn that we were doing what we were doing was actually harmful rather than helpful. When Jesus came, the Pharisees didn't know they were off base. They believed they were doing exactly what God had called them to do. They were trying to live righteously and make others do the same. Yet, Jesus brought the message of true love and true faith, telling them about self-sacrifice, non-judgment, welcome, and acceptance of others. But the Pharisees could not hear him, branding him a blasphemer and heretic. Like the Pharisees, when we choose to live contrary to his message of love, we are guilty of sin. He has called us to a different way of life and asks us to follow him. Even just reading through this again this morning, I'm reminded that so often, and I'm certainly guilty of this, of thinking that the Pharisees were evil.
Uh-huh.
But they really were doing the best they could. I mean, they had a desire to live and honor the word of God. And yet Jesus came to say, hey, you know what? There's a little different way of understanding this. In fact, there's a radically different way of understanding this than how you have in the past.
That is one of the things that's most surprising. If you stand outside of the Bible and then you get in and you go, wow, the religious people, which is, you know, another way to call the Pharisees. I mean, they're the ones who they butted heads with Jesus the most. I mean, that is just not what people would expect, right?
Yep, absolutely. You know, and I think that for me, there's this awareness that it's so easy for us who tend to be religious to assume we're the ones who are managing things rightly. And yet, if we take the example of Jesus, a lot of times we're not. You know, I think, and it's good for us to recognize that maybe we're being the older brother more often than... You know, than the younger brother. Right?
Here's a thought to consider. It says, Paul writes to Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy, but it could be, he says, I think it's 1 Timothy, like 3:12. He says, if anyone desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you'll be persecuted. Now, a lot of times you might think, oh, persecuted by the world. But I guess if it would be persecuted like Jesus, because the idea of living godly in Christ Jesus means you'd be living like Christ. Who was he persecuted by?
Mostly by the church.
By religious people. So it seems to me that a lot of times where you might just in a casual reading go, oh, persecuted, and a lot of talk about persecution, but who's that to come from? For Jesus, it came from...
Right, from the religious leaders.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
And that's a good thing to be remembering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I do think persecution will come from the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think persecution comes from ourselves, you know, but I definitely think it can come from within the church. And we have to be as aware of that as I think we are of the pressures in the world.
I think just it's, I've been thinking about the gospel and grace. And just, we've talked about different books. One of the authors we've highlighted from you in the past, Jerry Bridges, Transforming Grace. Brennan Manning, we mentioned yesterday, Ragamuffin Gospel. I mean, just this too good to be true message that's actually true. I mean, it starts with that, right? It starts in believing. That's why you're called a believer. It starts with that. Yep. And then championing that. And it seems to me, you know, if you wonder, just in closing here, Jason, where is it that grace followers, Christ followers, would collide with religion? And again, the Pharisees were finger pointers. Then it seems like that, to me, tell me, and let's close with this. I mean, it seems like that's where the collision comes, is the idea where you're like, it's not about do more, try harder religion, but it's about, you know, grace-based relationship.
You know, I think you're exactly right. And the real struggle, I think, for believers, certainly for me, is to believe that the gospel is as good as Jesus says it is.
That sounds like a worthy pursuit. All right. Well, how about this tune seems to fit in. I try to get a song that fits the dialogue. Lauren Daigle, it's called Losing My Religion on WWIB. Thank you. Susan Jacoby has arrived on the scene.
Good morning, everyone.
For the WIB Wake Up Show. And I had just teased this a little bit, and so I want to do this before sports and commentary. So my wife said something to me last night.
What did she say?
Well, but I want to use it on you because I have thought to myself, and I said to the listeners, I'm going to say, I bet your husband, I think there's a really good chance that he has said this to you at some point.
And he says quite a bit.
Okay,
so.
Well, what she said was, because I had told her, I had said, anyhow, she goes, are you ever surprised by what comes out of your mouth?
Oh,
like what you
word.
Say? And that whole, just, there it is. So.
Every day. Every day. He's like, he listens on his way to work. He's like, sweetie, and then this morning he woke himself up to pray for me. He's like, Heavenly Father, I pray for my wife, and that what she says would be edifying. And
right.
I know that. Yeah. I don't know how it comes
but there's a desire for realness there, right?
You know what? When I applied for this job and they said, just be yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know if they really knew me.
Yes.
I can be nothing other than myself. I think back in the day before I knew the Lord, when I was trying all, you know, trying to please people, trying to do other things, maybe I could have held it together, but this is just who you get.
There you go.
And I'm always surprised by what comes out of your mouth, Mark, and it usually is extremely encouraging
that's
and amazing.
Good. That's good, and I appreciate that. But and it doesn't, my wife, I think, was not just meaning on the radio, just in general. But yes, I think we do share that.
Of course.
We share
yes.
that in common.
Okay, we talked about alligators yesterday, but today, Crocs. Crocs the shoes. Crocs sales surged. There's no end in sight for the ongoing love affair between Crocs and comfort-seeking consumers. On Tuesday, Crocs reported that sales surged 64% January through March. Crocs' moment arrived in the midst of a global pandemic when the shoemaker logged its best sales ever in 2020.
And this is when I thought Crocs was starting to fall out of favor, but I actually...
Exactly.
I wore some the other day that belonged to my younger brother because I was at my parents' house and I just slipped them on real quick because I didn't feel like bending down to tie my shoes. And I didn't want to take them off.
Oh, my word.
They were extremely comfortable.
Yeah, you know, it seems like whoever came up with these is like a slight improvement on sandals, right? I don't
know.
It just seemed like you can do this. And I have to say, I was looking at them somewhat askance, but I got my first pair last year. I love them, too. I love them.
Well, it's so strange because as the mother of daughters, these Crocs got shoved, you know, from several years ago, shoved to the back of the closet. Now, my daughters are wearing them all the time. I don't know if they're old enough to be retro or what, but I also find them very comfortable. I notice on Top Chef, people wear Crocs all the time.
Mm.
So, I would not have noticed their footwear on that show.
Oh, I notice everything. I love Top Chef. Anyway, they should be a sponsor. Donate $10,000, just like Campbell's Soup did last episode.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Huh.
All right.
So curious about what your comfy shoes are that you reach for. Are you a Scandinavian who loves clogs? Are you getting into Crocs? Crocs, yes or no?
Let us know on the Wiblister line at 715-396-1670. It's 747, 42 degrees, and still starting to see a little sunshine peeking through the studio windows here at WWIB. Hoping to add just a little bit of sunshine to your Wednesday morning as it's time for a WIB Wake Up Show Wednesday feature, Pet Peeves Put to Music. And
Hooray.
This one was sparked by Mark, but...
Oh, I hear, I feel your pain.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Mark and I were in agreement.
Yeah.
On this one as well. So, again, Havel, we were talking about stoplights, mm-hmm. and... At really, what sparked this is you just said stoplights. What else really needs to be said?
Yeah, and it's just like going down Hastings Way, right? I mean, on my way to work even this morning, the speed limit's 50, and you hit a stoplight. It happened when I went to a birthday in Chippewa on a Saturday a few weeks ago. Four different times, and you just want to get there.
Some days you feel like you just do not have the timing right. So, again, this comes from inside the WIB Wake Up Show studio here, but we'd love your pet peeves as well at 715-396-1670. Without further ado, here's today's pet peeve put to music.
Bane of my existence is called the traffic light, where red means stop and green means go and yellow means hold tight. I have the world's worst timing, or call it plain bad luck. There's always that one intersection where I end up stuck.
You can only play drum solos on the steering wheel for so long. Hey, why did they get to go?
Is there a stoplight mafia or someone I could pay? 'Cause every time I hit this light, I sit here half the day. Been waiting 7 minutes and it still hasn't changed. Lord, please just give me patience, 'cause I'm feeling quite deranged.
Feeling quite deranged.
Relatable, we hope.
So,
I love the opening line, the bane of my existence.
Yes,
I like that.
A triumph. Yes.
First world problems at their finest.
but persistent problems that affect my everyday life, so thank you.
Well, an Italian man is leaving behind his tiny hut on the Isle of Budelli, where he's lived alone for more than 30 years.
Wow.
To the island.
And staying there.
Mauro Morandi announced his departure from the island off the coast of Sardinia this week following repeated threats from local authorities. The 81-year-old took over as the island's caretaker when he ended up there during an attempt to sail from Italy to Polynesia. Forget Gilligan's Island. I mean,
He was shipwrecked and he just stayed there for 30 years.
I mean, he was shooting for an attempt to sail from Italy to Polynesia. He ends up on this island.
Wow.
That does things to your mind. At least that's what movies have taught me.
Yeah. Tom Hanks.
Well, it's funny. Like, what was the last straw? Just was he so tired of himself? I know you said people are trying to get him to leave, but.
Yeah, now. But when the island changed hands, the caretaker role was eliminated. And so he's not happy about it.
No.
He says he's hopeful that the Isle of Budelli will be safeguarded after he leaves.
Well, I'm a little worried about him and re-entering society.
I know it. Wow. I got to tell you, 2 years away in Liberia was a difficult re-entry. Talk about 30 years on the Isle.
Right.
Very nice not to have sand everywhere, though. And, you know.
Yeah. I mean, his relatives are going to look a little older. Food's going to be a little different. I mean, I
have to shave more regularly.
He needs a mentor coach to help him navigate through life.
I want to know, when he was there, did he have a volleyball?
Yeah, who did he talk to?
Well, the Academy Awards the other night, there's been a lot of talk afterwards about how low the ratings were. But one of the high moments that I've observed and others have been buzzing about, Tyler Perry. He's a brother in the Lord. We've talked about him in the past, Caleb, remember, in terms of some of the he paid off like $400,000 worth of what people had on layaway in the Atlanta area ahead of Christmas some time back. And he fed all sorts of people during the pandemic, living in the Atlanta area, and employs many people there. Well, he received the Gene Herschelt Humanitarian Award. And we don't have all of his talk, but we've got a couple of clips, plus a response from a very well-known actor. So let's listen first, Tyler Perry talking about receiving this award.
You know, when I set out to help someone, it is my intention to do just that. I'm not trying to do anything other than meet somebody at their humanity. Like, case in point, this one time, I remember I was, maybe it was about 17 years ago, I rented this building and we were using it for production. And I was walking to my car one day and I see this woman coming up out of the corner of my eye. And I say, she's homeless, let me give her some money. Judgment. I wish I had time to talk about judgment. Anyway, I reach in my pocket and I'm about to give her the money. She says, excuse me, sir, do you have any shoes? It stopped me cold because I remember being homeless and having one pair of shoes and they were bent over at the heels. So I was like, yeah. So I took her into the studio. She was hesitant to go in, but we went in. We go to wardrobe and there are all these boxes and everything around the walls and fabrics and racks of clothes. So we ended up having to stand in the middle of the floor. So as we're standing there, wardrobe, we find some shoes. We help her put them on. I stand up. I'm waiting for her to look up. And all this time she's looking down. She finally looks up. She's got tears in her eyes. She said, thank you, Jesus. My feet are off the ground. In that moment, I recall her saying to me, I thought you would hate me for asking. I'm like, how can I hate you when I used to be you?
Tyler Perry next credits the influence of his mom.
My mother taught me to refuse hate. She taught me to refuse blanket judgment. And in this time, and with all of the internet and social media and algorithms and everything that wants us to think a certain way, the 24-hour news cycle, it is my hope that all of us would teach our kids, and not only to remember, just refuse hate. Don't hate anybody. I refuse to hate someone because they are Mexican or because they are black or white, or LGBTQ. I refuse to hate someone because they are a police officer. I refuse to hate someone because they are Asian. I would hope that we would refuse hate. And I want to take this Jean Herschel Humanitarian Award and dedicate it to anyone who wants to stand in the middle, no matter what's around the wall, stand in the middle, because that's where healing happens. That's where conversation happens. That's where change happens. It happens in the middle. So anyone who wants to meet me in the middle, to refuse hate, to refuse blanket judgment, and to help lift someone's feet off the ground, this one is for you too. God bless you, and thank you, Academy. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And someone who wants to meet him in the middle is actor Hugh Jackman, who says the next day he found Tyler's speech the most touching moment of the award show.
When Tyler speaks of stepping into the middle, I was like literally yelling at the TV, like, I'll meet you in the middle, Tyler. And I'm telling you now on social, thank you for your inspiration. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for your leadership. I'm literally, hopefully, going to meet you in the middle. Let's break bread, which I will bake. And let's talk about how we can get stuff done, because, dude, it's astonishing what you're doing, and you're an inspiration.
Mm. So next time somebody wants to denigrate Hollywood, remember Tyler Perry and Hugh Jackman. So
there are still lights, uh-huh. right? There are still uh-huh. lights, and I think a little bit of the prophet Elijah and how he told God, he's like, I'm the only one left. Uh-huh. He's like, it's just me. And we think uh-huh. of things a lot of times in Hollywood, how dark it can be, and yet one light shines all the brighter mm-hmm. in so a sea true. Of darkness, right? So,
and I'm in tears here. I can't explain my reaction other than it feels like water on parched ground to this challenge of meeting in the middle. And Tyler, I will meet you there. And I just love this message, and I pray that it will grow, that God anoints his words, and it grows and grows.